Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to author G.D. Grace's A Touch of Grace, Literary Magic, on Blog Talk Radio.
Those times when faith is altered, we stand on the cusp of a deeper existence, wiser in content and rich in substance. That road lying ahead may look intimidating, and it may even seem a slight narrow in dark, unfamiliar places, but we must move forward with courage. When those loud, discouraging whispers incite uncertainty, tempting us to wave that white flag, telling us to turn and flee defeated, we must replace the negativity with positivity. The only thing back there is what we have already been through, so we must find the inner strength to push on. Insanity is repeating the same mistakes while expecting a different outcome. Now, how crazy is that? Good evening, listeners. Today's date is November 22nd, 2013. The time is 8:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I am your host, GD. Welcome to A Touch of Grace. Tonight's guest is one remarkable man. He is an artistic visionary who creates wonderful masterpieces on canvas. He is president of Conversations Media Group with a highly successful magazine and one of the biggest Block Talk Radio shows on Block Talk Radio with over a million listeners. He is a life changer and a truly one of God's very best. His name is Cyrus Webb, and he joins us here on A Touch of Grace this evening. Cyrus, welcome.
Well, thank you, GD. It's great to be able to be on with you.
Well, you know what? I really appreciate you being here. And how's your spirit feeling tonight?
Doing really good. I got me a power nap in, so I'm all set and ready to go.
All right, man. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, so you know what? I want to dig back in the beginning. When things happen. So where did you grow up at, Cyrus? Where was your home?
Actually, Mississippi, where I've moved back to now. Actually grew up in Mississippi. And, you know, it was an interesting time, I guess, for me, because I was born in 1975. I you know, didn't experience a lot of what people have gotten to know Mississippi for. But it really, I think, has helped me, GD, to be able to not only do the things that I'm doing today, but I think to empower me, to tell me that I could do it. So, you know, I really, you know, would take nothing for, you know, where I come from and what I believe it has done in helping me become who I am today.
Well, that sounds fantastic. You know, my family is from Biloxi, Mississippi, so I've only got a chance to go back there when I was a teenager, and it's funny that you mentioned that people have a perception about the South. So your experiences back South have been pretty positive?
Actually, my entire experience, and that's the, you know, the thing that I think it's all about, you know, the blessings have really been entirely positive. You know, I look at, you know, what I've been able to do here, and it all began in Mississippi. You know, I was the first Black president of the Rankin County Arts Alliance here in Mississippi, and I think about, you know, the fact that, you know, the arts have always been a part of my life, and it's something that I've always gotten support for, you know, for people from, you know, various ages and races, and I think that's kind of what helped me to build what is now Conversations, because my life has always been about all people, not just a certain group of people. And I've never been, you know, made to feel like I was somewhere I didn't belong. And I think that has really, you know, helped to propel me forward, GD, and really helped me in building, you know, the Conversations brand.
You know, I think that's fantastic. And when you say that you've had encouragement, did it come from home? Was home life pretty encouraging for you when you were growing up?
You know, it was encouraging, even though they didn't understand it, and that's understandable, I think. You know, when, you know, my mother and my grandmother, they, you know, they grew up in different times, so of course, you know, their idea of success was different. For them, success was, you know, getting a good education, going to college. And then you would become somebody. And anything that deviated from that, you know, it's very difficult for them to really, you know, wrap their minds around, which I used to not get that. The older I've gotten, I now appreciate that that is really what they thought it took. But you know, just like I know, GD, because of the way the world has changed, you know, the path to success has changed. And I think it all now is about perception. So, yeah, I mean, I was encouraged, even with the art, even though they didn't think I could do anything with it. They honestly didn't. But they didn't think that because they'd never seen it done. And so I think, you know, they did what they could to support me. And, of course, I got great support from teachers that I'm still now in contact with, some 15, 20 years later, who saw something in me. So those were all the little, I think, the little fires that were able to help me to you know, to keep it burning and to keep going with it and now to see it do what it's doing today.
Yeah, and it's very successful. A Touch of Grace, I started back in 2010. But now, how long ago did you start Conversations Live?
Conversations Live officially started, GD, on the radio in Jackson, Mississippi in July 2003. And I have to be honest with you, I had no intention of having a radio show, and that's why I know this is a God thing for me. I had no intention of doing radio. Of course, I have no broadcasting experience. I didn't go to college or anything, but I had been approached at a speaking event that I was doing, because I did motivational speaking at that time, by Charles Evers, who's the brother of Medgar Evers, who owns this radio station in Jackson called WNPR. And he asked me if I'd ever thought about doing radio, and I said, I've been interviewed on the radio, but I'd never thought about doing a radio show, ironically, because I didn't think I had anything to say. And he said, you know, I think you would be good at it. And I said, okay. But, you know, you have to understand, you know, here I am, no clue of what I'm, you know, what I'm even supposed to do. There was no pep talk as to what your platform. I mean, I didn't know any of that stuff. So the only thing I knew was art, because that's all I did was art and speaking. So he said, you know, I'm willing to give you a 30-minute weekly program. Well, I went into that first program, GD, not even with a name for the show. I didn't even know what I was going to call the show. So, I mean, so I go to the station, and, you know, 30 minutes, you know, he says, you know, you can take calls. So I'm like, okay. So I'm thinking I'm just going to talk about myself, and maybe people are going to call and ask me questions. I didn't know what to expect. So I get
here,
in there.
You got me cracking up over here.
I'm being serious. This is really how it started. So this was July. I'm sitting there thinking, okay, so I'm going live, and it's live. It's live. So, you know, I start the show. The guy, you know, throws it over to me, and I talk a little bit about myself, and I'm thinking, okay, people, you know, I'm talking about me, so people are just going to call. 10 minutes in, GD, nobody has called. And I'm like, okay, so I talk a little bit more about some of the stuff I've done, and because that's all I know. And so still nobody calls. So then I'm like, okay, this is not going to go well. So at this point, again, I did not know what the show was going to be. So I said, you know, I hope, you know, that I'll be able to, you know, introduce you guys. And this was, I was just me just thinking, I'm thinking to myself off the top of my head, introduce you guys to maybe people that I've worked with in the arts and that kind of thing. And then the producer tells me that I have a caller. Now, this is about 15 minutes after the hour. I never will forget this because he tells me I have a caller. So I'm thinking, okay, good, somebody calls. GD, it's so funny that you mentioned Biloxi because the caller was from Biloxi. It was an artist named Angela Sarton who I had done an art show with. And she says, Cyrus, you know, I'm listening to you on the Internet. I'm so excited for you. I didn't even know the show was on the Internet, GD, to be honest with you. She says, well, I'm listening to you on the Internet. And I just wanted to call in and say congratulations on your show. And I said, oh, Angela, you know, thank you so much. And I really believe that it was God that put in me to ask her, Angela, for those who don't know you, why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself? And, GD, when she started talking, it dawned on me what I was supposed to be doing. I wasn't supposed to be talking about Cyrus. Cyrus was supposed to be talking about what other people were doing. And that's how conversations started.
Excuse me, I had to clear my throat. Well, you know what? I like how you explained that, because I'm having a similar experience. I touched bases with a guy by the name of Robert Wesley Branch. He introduced me to Blog Talk, and then it's like, what do you do when you're on the air? And it's almost like you have that moment where you realize, well, you know, the guest is supposed to be doing all the talking. Really, all you are is a navigator for a platform for them, so that they could go ahead and talk about all the great things that they're doing. And you most certainly, my friend, are doing many great things. So for the listeners out there, just how big is Conversations Live?
Well, you know, I mean, after we went through that whole thing, and again, you have to understand, I mean, a lot of people, I think I had this great plan. There really was no plan. There was no plan. Like I said, I didn't even know the show was on the Internet. So it's because of that that people outside the state got to know who I was. And that led me to then being able to start doing radio in Little Rock and then in Alabama. And then I heard about Blog Talk in 2005. So, you know, I was doing just radio, you know, terrestrial radio at that particular time. So I was like, wow, here's this opportunity for me to have total control, which who wouldn't want that? And, you know, to be able to do exactly what you want to do, you kind of have it in your hands. So, that's when, you know, we started with Blog Talk, not really knowing. I mean, because you have to remember, I was only on the air once a week up in, before that point. So, you know, I said, okay, well, maybe I'll do 5 days. I'll do, you know, at that time with Blog Talk, you could do an hour for free.
Right.
You could do an hour for free. So I said, well, maybe I'll just do 5 days. And so I would start doing the show. And I didn't look at the numbers, and I actually said this in the Blog Talk University this year, GD. I didn't, because I've never wanted it to be about the numbers. You know what I mean? I wanted it to be about the experience. If I felt good about it, if the guests felt good about it, if I got some comments, then I said, oh, that was a good show. I didn't want it to be, oh, well, I had this many people listen, and that made it a good show. Because, you know, some people may not even hear about it, you know. So as it went on, I started noticing that, you know what, a lot of people are telling me that they're listening to the show. And then and I would go places, and they would say, hey, you know, I listen to Conversations. And I was like, wow, that's, you know, that's something. So, you know, as far as the radio show, yes, it has grown quite a bit, you know, in that, you know, in that period of time. Now we're interviewing it. You know, when I hit 500 guests in a year, I really thought I was cooking with gas then, GD. I was like, whoa. I interviewed 500 people this year. 500 people, you know. And this year we're going to hit 1,000. And so, I mean, it's really, you know, it's one of those things where, again, I don't like to judge it by the numbers, but I think the numbers are just a form of the validation of what has grown from it. You know what I mean? And I always tell people, don't worry about how many people are listening. To me, that's not the important thing for me. To me, the important thing is when I have the guests write me afterward and say, that was a great experience. You know that feeling. When someone says, you know what, I really enjoyed that, you know, that time.
Yeah, it really is a good feeling. And, you know, the one thing through it all and all the success that you've been having and how things manifested, you are one of the most humble people that I've ever talked to. And I know that that has a lot to do with how comfortable the guests feel and how you make them feel, because it really is all about the guests. Now, you've interviewed some pretty big names out there. I mean, Jackie Collins, I know, is one of the people that you interviewed, as well as Michael Biden. And how do you get the talent booked for your show?
You know, and that's the other thing. I think, you know, and I laugh about this sometimes because, and my mom even said to me, Cyrus, I bet these people think you have this team of people, you know, who work with you. And but it really is, you know, I've been fortunate now to be able to do this full time right now for it's been 6 years. And, you know, I do it myself. I will either reach out to someone. Fortunately enough, with Michael Basden, you know, his publicist had worked with me before. And when he was doing interviews, they contacted me and said, hey, would you like to interview him? And who's going to turn down Michael Basden? I mean, things like that, you know, with Jackie, I had been going after her for a few years, saying, you know, I really want to talk to you. I'm you know, been a big fan. Would love to talk to you. I have no shame, GD. I will tweet you. I will miss. If you make your email address available, I will email you. You're going to have to tell me to stop.
That is hilarious.
but then, you know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But you know what? I'm glad you said that over the air, because that's really what it's about. It's about being fearless, you know?
Right.
And I think that's great. So when you finally got her, are you ever nervous on the air?
I'm nervous every time. I now do 5 shows a day, and I'm nervous every time. And I'm nervous not just with celebrities. I'm nervous with people like you and me, you know, people who it's their very first interview, because you want their very first, especially, to be a good experience for them. And so, yeah, I'm nervous every time. You know, I prepare the same for everybody. And I do that because, again, you know, to me, I tell people, for me now it's like a dance. You know, I give you my best performance and hoping you'll be able to bring up your best performance. And at the end of it, we can bow and, you know, have a great, you know, have said that we had a great experience. And that's how I look at it. So, yeah, I mean, I get nervous every time I go on. Because, it's, for one thing, it's live. Anything
exactly.
can happen, you know. And then, two, the excitement of the fact that anything can happen. You know, I've had some great revelations that have come over the air during this show that I look at later and say, wow, they really told me that. It's impressive to me that they feel the comfort of being able to say certain things or to go there. It's nervousness. I think you mentioned the humility. I think that and, you know, being told by my family every day, no matter who you talk to, you know, you still my boy. You know, so that will keep you in your place. You know, but I think it's one of the things that has helped me. You know, realizing that I'm just, like you said, I'm just the instrument. You know, to make sure that they're able to get, you know, their platform across.
Most definitely, and so Conversations Live on Block Talk Radio, but then there's also Conversations Magazine. So you had the show first, and did the magazine follow, or were they almost parallel?
Yeah, the magazine, I had no intention of doing a magazine. I had no intention of doing a magazine. I had no intention of doing a book club. I really didn't. What happened was, as I said, you know, the radio show started in July 2003. It was 3 years later. I would have people who would hear the show and say, hey, that guy that you interviewed, you know, is there any way I can get that interview? And I would say, well, yeah, you can get the interview. No. Is it written anywhere? You know, is there somewhere I can go and read it? And I said, no, there's not. So then I figured, you know what, maybe I need to create a place for people to be able to read it, you know, the interviews. So it initially started, I mean, who doesn't love Blogger? It's free. I mean, you can't, don't get them any better
right.
than that. So I went to blogger.com, and which who I'm still with today, and I started actually taking out the time myself of my staff of one and going back and replaying the interviews and actually transcribing them myself.
Oh, you have got to be kidding me.
No.
that is a lot of work.
It was a lot of work. But in the beginning, that's how it started. And so I would actually go through, do the Q&A myself, and post it on the website. So then I thought, then I would meet people, GD, and they would ask me, is there anywhere I can get that? And I'm like, well, it's on the website. Well, I don't go online. And then I thought to myself, I don't read online either. I don't prefer that way of reading. I prefer a book.
Right.
So I said, okay, well, maybe I need to do a book. So that's how the magazine came. And I never will forget, our very first issue was our April 2006 issue. And it was the very first person who I, because I also had the television show, too, that started in 2005 here in Mississippi. He was the very first person who appeared on the radio show, the television show. And I said, so he has to be on the cover of the magazine. And that was Brandon Massey. You might be familiar with him, the horror writer out of Atlanta, Georgia. Yeah, and so I called Brandon and said, Brandon, hey, you know, you were the first person who was both on my radio show, because he was visiting Mississippi with his book, I Never Will Forget It, Dark Corner. And mm-hmm. I said, I would love for you to be on the cover of our very first issue. And he said, Cyrus, I'd love to. And that was our very first issue of the magazine.
That's fantastic. And as I look at the clock, now, 30 minutes definitely is not enough time for you, because now you know Blog Talk Radio, you know, they started off with an hour, like you said, and now it's down to the 30. But I've got some surprises coming up in 2014, and I want to have you back on the show. But
oh,
a lot of good
that.
Information. Yeah, oh, most definitely you're coming back on this show. So what do you think drives your ambition these days?
You know, for me, you know, I think people see the positivity, which I am, that is authentically who I am, and that is the truth of who I am. But it's the truth of who I am now. They don't see the fact that I was bulimic. They don't see the fact that I was depressed, that I attempted suicide 3 times. A lot of people don't know the backstory of what took, what I had to break down to get to where I am. But I think that's what drives me, is that I know that God has a reason for my being here, or else I should be gone. And I realize that, and I really have internalized that I have a purpose. And that's why you see me talking about it, especially on Facebook, so much about purpose. I feel like so many people don't feel as though they have a reason for being here. And I think that is the biggest trick of the enemy, I think, to make us feel as though, because of where we live, what we look like, that we don't have a purpose. And that's really, I think, what drives me, is that, you know, I wake up in the morning excited about the idea of, I don't know what's going to happen today, but whatever it is, I'm going to embrace it. You know, I'm going to learn from it, and I'm going to use it not just for myself, but for other people. And it really has been serving. I think that has now been my big thing. And that's really, I think, why we've been successful, GD, I think, because, you know, it's not just about me. You know, I look at the numbers now, because now my advertisers and stuff, they want to know, you know, this and that. But to me, really, the big, you know, sign of success for me is when I get the emails, when I get the guests that say, you know what, I really enjoyed that experience. Or when someone says, Cyrus, I got something from that. That to me is me fulfilling my purpose. And that's what I want to do every day of my life.
I think it's beautiful. I think you were born for it. And I think because of your honesty, like when you were talking about the suicide attempts and everything, sometimes, you know, when we fail at doing things to ourselves, it's almost like an epiphanous moment. And for you, most certainly, the world is definitely a better place. And I know that my life has been enriched just by knowing you. You know, I see the post that you put on Facebook, and I'm always wanting to show my support to you, because what you're doing out there is just fantastic. And you are inspiring so many people. But in addition to them, you are definitely one of the greatest inspirations to me. So what's next for Conversations Media Group?
Well, the next thing is we're developing a web series called Conversations. Well, you know, I'm very simple, GD. So
okay.
Everything
like
with the same name.
Cool.
I'm a very simple man. So it's called Conversations with Cyrus Webb, and you can actually go to the website. It's already up, conversationswithcyruswebb.com. And we're doing a web series. We have coming up actually in January, Kenny Lattimore is going to be on the web series. We have Jackie Collins is going to be on the web series in February. It's now you'll be able to see us. You hear us on the radio, and you hear us on Blog Talk. Now you actually will be able to see me with these individuals, being able to have a conversation with them. So it's adding a different dimension, taking advantage of YouTube, taking advantage of a lot of these other platforms that allow us, you know, to be able to bring the visual aspect of them. Because I have some people say, you know, I feel like I'm just sitting there with you. And I'm like, well, why don't we do that? You know, technology has made that very easy now.
Oh,
where
yes.
You can sit where you are, I can sit where I am, and people can see us and be able to be drawn further into the conversation. So that's coming up in 2014. And also I have 2 books that are coming out next year as well. One is my book of affirmations, which a lot of them I share on Facebook. It's called Words I Choose to Live By. That's one book that's coming out. And the second book, actually, I have never mentioned it. in an interview before, so this is the first time that I would mention it. It's called Must Come Down, Breaking Down the Ego to Build Up Your Best Self. And it's a book that I started writing actually 3 years ago about the importance of, you know, how we have to break down, you know, what we don't need in order to become the person we were meant to be. And that's the second book that's coming out this summer of 2014.
I want to thank you for giving me that exclusive, Cyrus.
Sure thing.
Well, it's definitely so. As I look at the clock and I see that we're counting down, this is my favorite question in a show that, you know, if your spirit is tight with right, that's like one of my favorite sayings.
Right.
At the end of the journey, when it's all said and done and you go ahead on to get your reward, how would you like to be remembered?
You know what, that's a great question. I think what I would want to be remembered as is a person who encouraged the best of everyone. I really think that would be my marker, that I encouraged other people to be their best selves. The people, when they think of me, they think of, you know, I felt encouraged by him to be a better version of myself, because that's what the world does for me every day. And if I can share that, I think that would be the greatest reward.
Amen. And so for everyone listening, I just interviewed the fantastic, phenomenal Cyrus Webb for Shadow Play Entertainment. And Cyrus has a website at caweb4@JasonJumpUNNancyO.com. And, of course, if you're on Facebook, you're going to see them all over the place. And I got to tell you one thing. You got your Oprah, you got your Tyler. But we're getting ready to have our Cyrus Webb, and I most certainly want to be a part of promoting you. I love doing it. It's just, you know, it's about paying it forward. And I want to thank you for being a guest here tonight. And are there any final thoughts you'd like to leave the listeners with on A Touch of Grace?
Well, I just want to thank you, GD, for not only the platform that you have here on the radio, but I think what you do online as well. You know, I always tell people the Internet's a great thing, you know, when it's used properly, and you are one of those people that use it properly. So I want to thank you for raising other people up, and I think that's going to be one of the things that you're remembered for because of the work that you're doing. So congratulations, and definitely keep up the great work.
I most certainly will, and you will definitely be coming back on during the hour segment so that we could go ahead and chop it up. I want to thank you for being a mirror of what God's love is. And most certainly, thank you for being on A Touch of Grace. And you have a great evening, all right?
You do the same thing. Thanks again.
You're welcome. All right, listeners, that's it. It's a wrap. I'm putting a bow on the show, and you know what that means, that we are done. Have a great, happy holiday, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.